catch gold fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Well, I don't know if your sweet wife, you're going fishing all the time, but I know a guy who goes just about every time he can. Got Fish Boss Leaf is here. Hey, Fit. Hey, Fish. Hey,
hey,
Leaf.
Fish Brain. Or Yi Zhao Lang, like my fellow Kung Fu. Well, in martial arts, I had a friend that was a Chinese professor, and he gave me the name Yi Zhao Lang, Fish Head Leaf.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even back then.
Yeah, it's been a while of being a fish head. Yeah, you know, been doing a lot of work with fish and been doing some fishing. Ran through a good 1,000 coho the other day, seeing who was ready to give some eggs and who wasn't. Went crawling up the 1890s side channel the day before that.
Interesting.
And then cruised through it with an electroshocker later that same week to see what it would yield.
So you've been under the water a little bit.
Under the water, around the water, and bringing stuff up out of the water via hook and line and electricity.
Anything of note there? I mean, it sounds like that's a lot of coho. Is that more than usual, less than usual?
It's a challenging one, that one. We've started doing some electrofishing because of the challenges we have now that it is matured in there. Mm-hmm. Some people may have seen when they do the concert there at the Doran Ranch. Mm-hmm. People get a chance to cruise through there and check it out. It's looking a lot more natural, especially further up in there than you can actually see from the highway. Mm-hmm. These trees I was stepping over easily. These alders and quick growing, I don't know, other trees like that are now like 10, 15 feet high. Uh-huh. And we can hardly move through to do our work, but I mean, it's exactly the way it should look. And the tough part though is now getting fish out of there, because there's a lot of plant life and there's still just a ton of fish in there. So we've kind of kicked.
So how many years is that project?
Oh,
old?
Geez, you know, I just kind of help out with that one. I believe it's like 5-6 years.
That's
now.
What I was thinking. Six years maybe. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely matured though. Like I say, it's growing in very nicely. Still, just a super abundance of fish in there. from the nature of it, you know, it's much more suited to coho. So we have more of them in there, but man, just a ton. It depends too on what time of the year. The last time I ran through it in the spring, early summer, it was mostly spring chinook and steelhead. So it's kind of depending on what time of the year who's using it. Okay. But tens of thousands of fish up in there.
I'll be darned.
A ton of bang for your buck on that thing. Wow. That is just amazing. And once in a while, I'm sure as a bull trout heads upstream to do their spawning run in the spring or in the summer, they might stop through there on their way up late summer, early fall for a little bite to eat.
Yeah.
Cruise through the coho buffet.
That paints an interesting picture.
That's what it's there for. Yeah. That's great.
Well, just in case you don't know what we're talking about, Leaf obviously works in the fisheries industry and so on. And we're talking about some rehabilitation, some stream rehabilitation that took place real close to town here, actually.
Yeah.
And just like we said, in a matter of 6 years, this has come from basically inaccessible to being used by a lot of fish.
Yeah, it was a historically open side channel. I believe it must have been the 1890s or so that they had started their attempts at kind of closing that off to sort of protect whatever folks had been living in that area in the super high flow years.
Yeah.
We've also found now that it kind of makes it worse when we've done that now to every side channel. It kind of wants to bobsled race through here, and so that can lead to even more catastrophic flooding and less juvenile rearing habitat and spawning ground. So I'm really honored to be able to work with the Yakima Nation on their attempts to bring back our fisheries, both through the hatchery work that we're doing with my kelt reconditioning, with the coho program, but also with these awesome re-enhancement projects, because you know, it also pays off in my other job and love there with fishing, because man, it guarantees more fish.
You know, this is a little bit off topic, but the Encounters in the North podcast that I do in the mornings.
Yeah, I love that.
One day he did one on beaver, and he said that back before European settlement across the states, the United States had basically 1/3 of the rivers were dammed by beavers, and it was a huge amount of fisheries and habitat, and it was completely different.
Yeah,
you know, people.
I bet it was a lot wetter.
It was a lot wetter in a lot of places, and you know, we can never go back. But it's always good to know the way that it may have been, and maybe like these
do what we can
like these projects.
Yeah,
it's not wasted money. It's just trying to keep things in a healthy pattern.
And boy, these folks, you know, they're great at what they're doing. These hydrologists, these scientists that work on that, I don't touch it. It's like it's like I don't do my own mechanic work. I'm a fish guy. I don't know how to make or help a river do what it used to while kind of protecting from flooding. But these guys are good at it. They're doing it up on the loop. They're fixing a that area in Beaver Creek there. One of my distant relatives. I was stoked to meet the other day, the Stokes there. I'm related through the Beatties and the Paynes. You'll see us all in the Bound for the Met How book.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, they're fixing that road there where his bridge is trying to fall in. But also at the same time, being able to fix the stream bed that's kind of been channelized and squeezed in. Now we're going to be able to kind of widen that out. And I can tell you from there again, that other portion of my work, trapping kelt, steelhead, there's a ton of steelhead that go up that thing to spawn and therefore come back down through our trap. It's becoming more channelized and it's becoming harder to do that work that I do on that one in the lower portion. So anything like that to get it back to slowing down and being able to do what it did is great.
Yeah, making it a little better for the fish people.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so, fishing.
But fishing.
Fishing's been cool. I've got Graham over there, you know, he's bussing moves on the Skagit and the Cascade.
Yeah.
Doing some trips here for me over there. I'm getting over there whenever I can. I was planning on going over there possibly today, doing the old pick and cast again, but got busy doing doing a trip here. Had a great time with a father and son that I'd seen before and was able to get the son into the first fish he'd had on the fly, and that thing was just a hog.
Really?
Yeah. It was great up here at Frost Lake.
How old was the boy?
I believe his boy is right around 15.
Oh.
You know, 16, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So it was super cool. I know they've been doing some fishing. They fish on the Natchez a bit there. So they do, it's kind of a smaller stream there, and they get what they can, but they like coming up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always something to get your first fish to come to a fly.
Yeah, it was cool. And it happened super early in the morning. I wasn't super prepared for it. I looked up and his rod was just bucking. And I'm like, oh man, let go of that reel. And it just starts taking off. And he'd grab the reel again. And I'm like, okay, reel, but don't touch it if you're not reeling, man. And then it'd be bucking again. And yeah, he managed to keep that thing on and not snap it off, which was, it was a big fish. And
that's a good way to start today.
Yeah, sure was.
So that was lake fishing.
Yeah, so we've been doing some of that. You know, mostly that's what I've been doing around here, but I'd like to make sure that I get my last chance in these little tribs up here, like Boulder Creek and up there on the pass, too. You know, at early winters, and you know, it's so pretty.
Yeah,
you got to get out there on the small streams, like we're always talking. Go dab some tenkara, some pro cane pole stuff. And you know, I know a lot of folks would be into going over and doing the stuff that's in the Sinlihican, the Blue Lake with the rainbow trout in the middle of the Stehekin, Blue Lake in the Lime Belt in the east side of the Stehekin with the brown trout, and Blue Lake in the north part of the Stehekin, or just past Loomis by Oroville, three blue lakes within 10, 15 miles as a crow flies. The last one there with probably, I think, the most accessible Lahontan cutthroat fishing. I always talk about Omak.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's big water. So you can be committing yourself to hours and hours, as I have said, of counting down and stripping in for nothing sometimes. Yeah. Zero to three can kind of be the average sometimes when it's really getting cold and when there's pretty deep. But up there, that lake, I think, is at the deepest, the Blue Lake north of Wanakut, just to the east of Oroville, is about 70 feet deep, I think, at its deepest, and has a lot of water that's shallower than that. And I have never gone there without catching. They don't get as big, but they are still very large. They're still much larger than normal fish. Huh. So yeah, check out Blue Lake up there by up north of Wanakut, and then that puts a ton of great water between you and the rest of everything, too, with the Washburn and Palmer Lake there is great, and all down the Sinlihican there, super cool. Chapaca is very well known through in the fly fishing world, mostly in the spring, but is a great fall fishing lake, too. So, you know, just
good tips,
check it out. And, you know, to get the best information on that side of the hill, who do we talk to? North 40.
Absolutely.
That's right. Our good friends over there at the fly shop, Keith and all those guys, they'll keep you tuned in on the bug of the week, that buck 50 special, which is usually related directly to whatever's most popular. And they'll give you the keys.
They have everything.
To getting into the fish on this side or that side of the hill. And as far as the other side of the hill over there, we got you covered too. So if you want to book some fishing trips or need a fishing tip or two, just get a hold of me at flyfishersproshop.com to check out the blogger podcast, and get a hold of me at the interwebs for the trip at methowflyfishingadventures@gmail.com. Give me a call at 509-429-7298, and we'll get you out there. Enjoy the fall, y'all, and get the fish right on.